pretty nice overview of the major issues that come up throughout Maseches Yevamos, and we took a closer look at kind of the origins of Yibum. It's kind of the backstory of Yibum, Yibum origins. Going back to Yehuda and Tamar, but also even to Lot and his daughters, and the rectification and redemption of those proto, somewhat problematic, and in the case of Lot and his daughters, even more than problematic, perverse, incestuous versions of Yibum, and the redemption of them through the story of Boaz and Ruth, which is kind of the foundation for Malchus. And I tried to suggest that maybe that even this notion of Kiruv Mishpacha and Ki Yeshuachim Yachdav, which is the opening of the Parsha of Yibum, it's not just about Hakama Shem Achiv and perpetuating the Zera and Puravu, which is certainly one aspect and approach to Yibum and to Chalitza, but it's also about selflessness and not acting for your own sake. I didn't mention this last week, the contrast is between the Migdal Bavel people who earlier in that same parak with Avram are all about Kum Nasalanu Shame. They're all about perpetuating themselves, whereas Avram, who marries this orphaned niece, who may have even had some physical problems conceiving, he's clearly not interested in his shame, and that is Dafka what makes him the most ro'ui for. So I thought that was a nice mahalach, and we'll see if we can revisit that in some of the aspects of the halachic aspects of Yibum. What I wanted to do today is really just start. There's so many foundational concepts to start from, but I wanted to start with something that's in the general vicinity of where you're working on Bekiyas. It may be a little bit ahead, but I figured if we do it this weekend and maybe next week, that will by then we'll have a good handle on this sugya. And there are different places that you can start in terms of untangling the web of connections in Yevamos. Mentioned a bunch of the major issues. What I wanted to start with this week, because I think it really is a good starting place and it dovetails with what we're learning, is the question of the chalos yibum. When it's all said and done, what is the nature of the relationship between the man and the woman, the widow and the brother? When it's all said and done, do they have full-fledged regular ishus, and what does that tell us about Yibum? Or are there still some differences between the two institutions, even in terms of the chalos? And we'll see that that's perhaps a radical position, right? Just structurally and methodologically, we can suggest that the ma'aseh of Yibum is fundamentally different than, or the process of Yibum is fundamentally different than the process of regular Ishus, but the Chalos kind of ends up in the same place, in overlapping places, you know? Yaakov being in this room, and Sam being in this room, they both had similar experiences, but they came at it from very different places. So that could be kind of one approach to the relationship between Yibum and Ishus, that the journey and the nature of those journeys is fundamentally different, but when it's all said and done, they end up pretty much in the same place. Or we could suggest that really the journeys aren't all that different for Yibum and Ishus, that you know, there might be some minor technical adjustments given the nature of the fact that she was previously married to the brother, but you know, even the derech of Yibum, we would say, oh, that's kind of borrowed from the realm of Ishus. It's Kiddushe Bia with some adjustments. Okay, we'll see that comes up as well. What we're looking at, those are kind of two approaches to the Ma'ase Yibum and the nature, the Ofi of Yibum itself. What we're looking at is kind of one step later, which is the when it's all said and done, what's the nature of the relationship between the two parties? Is it identical to Ishus or not? And if not, what are some of the differences and what does that reflect about these different institutions. So the starting point for this conversation is, and really a starting point in Yevamos, is the end of the Mishnah on Lamed Ches and Aleph in Yevamos. Okay, so let's take a look at that. And we'll see the language of the Mishnah is important. There's also a parallel to this Mishnah in Ksuvos. It's the exact same Mishnah. Let's see, the Gemara has some minor differences, but the first half of the Mishnah discusses Nechasim and Nechsei Tzom Barzel and Nechsei Milog of a Shomeros Yavam. This happens to be a very complicated but very important sugya for the question of the status of Shomeros Yavam and Zika, and comparing that with regular Ishos. That's actually a much larger topic than the one we're going to talk about. I think just conceptually it's helpful to talk about this first, kind of when it's all said and done, to see if there's differences. But along the way, I mean, the status of Zika versus a parallel to Ishus. Maybe you want to compare it to Arusa, maybe you want to say it's not like Arusa, maybe you want to say it's Mitzas Ishus, maybe you don't want to say that. All those different possibilities, this is one of the major applications of it. The question of Peros and Nechasim of the Shomeros Yavam. The Rambam has a very controversial psak here, which plays into the overall Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam, in reading this Gemara, a number of Rishonim attack him. Yamshel Shlomo says, it's very strange, the Rambam very much limits the Yavam's hold on any of the Shomeros Yavam's stuff, even Nechsei Milog. And that is a controversial position. I think it highlights something important about the Rambam, which we might get to at the end of this year. Okay, so let's take a look at the second half of the Mishnah, which ends up having only a little keta of the Gemara on Lamed Tesef and Aleph. The Gemara beforehand is really grappling with the issue of Peros and Nechasim and those kinds of things, and it's really a very important test case and application of the overall Zika question. But the Mishnah, part of the Mishnah we're interested in the second half, Lamed Tesef and Aleph, Kansa harehi ki ishto l'chol davar. So we have a very sweeping statement that as soon as they perform yibum, then she is ki ishto l'chol davar. But then we immediately have a limitation or an exception. Ubilvad should take suba al nitzei bala harisham. But the ksuba that she has remains the lien remains on the first husband. Okay, so we'll have to explore the two halves of this Mishnah, a very sweeping statement, general statement, Areiki Shel L'chol Davar, and then this exception, and kind of try to figure out exactly what's going on. It's similar to like those Mishnayos in Megillah when you have the Ein Bein. You know, you have there's no difference. Ein Bein, Shabbos, the Yom Tov, Ela, Ochel Nefesh. What?
Except for
Ochel Nefesh, Bovad. But then you look at Ochel Nefesh and you realize, well, there's also differences in the Onesh. There's also differences in Chiluk Malachos. There's also differences in this. So you have to try to understand how the sweeping statement on the one hand and then the exception.
Kol HaSugimai.
What? Right. And
also,
so
sometimes like it says a statement and then chutz, and the Gemara asks if it's limited to those chutz, or
correct.
I think the Maskon is that's not.
Correct. Very often it's Tana v'Shiur, right? The Tana, okay. You know, left some stuff out. What works nicely, and this is what Rodenzweig often says, and specifically on those Mishnayos and Megillah, when we learned Beitzei talked about this, is that the Ein Bein Ella, the Ella is an exception, but it's the key exception which then explains the other exceptions that indicates that there's something significant there. So I, you know, not realizing it until formulated like this, I think one of the ways you can read this Mishnah, and the way I think the Rambam read this Mishnah, is Bilvaj de Ksuval Nichse Bala Rishon. That's not just like, oh, that's the only thing. There are going to be a number of things, but they may be all built off of and predicated on that particular exception to the general rule, which may reflect that it's not just a one thing exception, it may reflect some kind of difference between regular Ishas and this. Okay, so that's the Mishnah, a little tension already in the Mishnah. Now let's take a look at the Gemara. I don't remember, I haven't looked back at the Yerushalmi in a number of months on this particular issue. If the Yerushalmi has much on this, we'll have to take a look at that, because it would be interesting to see and compare and contrast that. So the Bavli, though, has an important discussion on this, and it raises two super important Havaminas. Okay, I'll read, since I think everyone prefers that. So the Gemara says, "Kansa arei ishal chol davar," and we're asked, "Lamai hilchasa?" What's this in regards? What's this teaching us? Seems like it's not just teaching us le'inyan, the things talked about earlier in the Mishnah, which is the peiros and the nichs and the chasim. It seems to be there's something else involved here, I guess, in this general sweeping statement. Arei ishal chol davar. So Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina lomar. It teaches us the following: Shemegar shebeget. Umahzira. The Mishnah's point of Harei Kishto L'chol Davar teaches us two points. One, that post the Yibum, he now divorced her with a get. Okay? And he's also allowed to remarry her if he so chooses, so long as she doesn't marry anyone else in the interim. Now the Gemara explains. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Right? She's kishto l'chol davar, of course. Now the salgadai d'chaminas are very important. Salgadai d'chamina, hol k'siv ulekacha lo lisha v'yibma amrachmana v'adayin yibume harishon ala b'chalitza in b'get lo. This is very interesting, right? Because it goes back to those psukim, as we pointed out last week, right? Yavama yavo aleha ulekacha lo liisha viyima. So the fact that it says viyima at the end, perhaps that indicates, the Gemara says, that the first relationship, the relationship with the brother, is still upon her, and the fact that she this marriage was generated through the act of yibum would still have ramifications post the yibum. And you might have thought that she would require chalitza. Now, some Rishonim say that the Havamina is not that she would have chalitza and no get, but maybe the Havamina is that you need both get and chalitza. But the Lashon HaGemara sounds like the chalitza in beget lo. So it's kind of hard to read. I think some Rishonim say that it would be both, and the point is that for the Yibum aspect, you would need chalitza. So Kamash Malan, no. Machzira, isn't that also Pshita? Salgadai t'chamina mitzvah de rami rachmana le avda hashta tekem ale b'isar eshesach kamashulans. This is also very important. This gets back to some of the things we were talking about last week of the nature of the isar eshesach and the fact that you're allowed to do yibum. What does that say about the isar eshesach? So I might have thought that it's a one time only dispensation for the isar eshesach, and if you do remain married to her, you can kind of continue that momentum from that original dispensation. But if you were to divorce her subsequently, you would now revive the isar eshesach would come back to life. So kamash malan, no. Okay, so the Gemara though doesn't stop with that. Gemara says ve'ema hachanami. Sometimes the Gemara does this. It says pshita, and then it says, oh no, I might have thought this, and then it says, well, taka, that's pretty good. That makes sense. Right? So the Gemara says, why don't we stick with this? So Amar Kra, ulekacha lo lisha. Right? And here's the other part, ignoring the viyidma at the end. Ulekacha lo lisha, kivin shalakacha, harehi ki isha lecholda. So, sof kol sof. What is the maskan of the Gemara? The Havamina of the Gemara definitely suggested that the chalos of Yibum, even post facto, would still be colored by the mice of Yibum and the fact that this relationship started under atypical circumstances, and we'd still require chalitza, maybe to the exclusion of get, or in addition to get, to the exclusion of get, and also we'd revive the Isser Eishas Ach if they were subsequently divorced. That would be suggesting definitely the chalos even is different. The question is, what is the maskana? Is the maskana a complete, utter rejection, 180 degrees? There is absolutely no difference between Yibum and Ishus. Maybe even the Maisa Yibum isn't different than Ishus. Yes, there's slightly different circumstances that brought us to this point, but we'll make some minor adjustments, and the Maisa Yibum and the Maisa of Kiddushin and Nisuin are pretty much the same. They're fundamentally the same. We'll make some minor adjustments, but Kimishlech Harek Ishul Chol Davar, that doesn't just tell us about the chalos of Ishus, maybe that even tells us about the derech of Yibum and the Maaseh Yibum itself. So if you don't want to go that far, you could say, okay, even if we're going to be able to determine that there are some differences between the derech of Yibum, and that would have some nafkaminas, as we'll see along the way, even if there are some differences between the derech of Yibum and the derech of Ishus, nevertheless, regular Ishus, nevertheless, when it's all said and done, the maskana of the Gemara is so that's how I always read this Gemara. I didn't think that there was a third reading of this Gemara. Namely, that even though the Gemara says, that's only with regard to the two specific Havaminas that were raised in the Gemara. That seems like a very forced reading of the Maskana. I would not have suggested it on my own. I might have suggested it if you didn't have such harsh, such strong language. Harayik Yishal L'chol Davar. However, thankfully. Okay, so first of all, Sam's better than I am, because I only noticed that after I saw the Tosas Rid. But there is something to note. The Tosas Rid, the Tosas Rid in Suvos has that radical reading of the Maskana, meaning the Maskana of the Gemara doesn't reject the Hava Amina fundamentally at all, not with regard to the Maisa Yibum, and not even with regard to the Chalos Yibum, which remains distinct from the Chalos Ishus in very significant ways. We'll see the Tosas Rid in a second. But the Tosas Rid, later I kind of noticed that the parallel Gemara, and Sam noticed it first because he learns properly, the Gemara in Suvos, even though the Mishnah still uses Harei Kishda L'chol Davar, but later on in that Mishnah, when it's talking about something else about the Ksuva, it says Harehi Kechol Hanashin, which is already a lighter language. But the Gemara, when it has this exact discussion, going from Pei Beis Amid Aleph to Pei Beis Amid Beis in Ksuvos, it has basically exactly my Hilchasam, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Omar, Shemagarshav, Get, Matzir, Magarshav, Get, Pshita, Ma'od, Detain, V'yimah, Marchor, V'aydain, Yibumen, Arishon, Olay, Lo, Tiski, La, Beget, Ela, Bechalitza. Oh, so that's a little bit, that's where those Rishonim probably would say, it's not enough to have Get, you also need Chalitza, right? As opposed to Argamar, which said, Beget.
But that would be a case of the Havamina that you'd have Chalitza after you've already done Yibum?
Yeah, that's the Havamina. Meaning, no, that Zika needs, if you ever want to end that relationship, you have to do Yibum. According to, you have to do Chalitza, which undoes that right. Zika relationship.
There are two ways of saying that. Either you could say that it's one, there's like this thing called Yibum that has all these things combined in it, and therefore in order to get out, you need both get or and Chalitza. So we could say that there are two separate tracks that are both happening simultaneously in parallel, you need one to get rid of one, and the other to get rid of the other.
It sounds more like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you have that difference in the Gemara. Lo tiski la beget el v'chalitza. Kamash olam, zero pshita. Aman pei beis and beis. Mahu detem a mitzvah derama rachman ala abdo v'ashv tekem lebe yisra yishzach. Kamash olam, eim al-chanami. Amar kra l'kachal olisha kivin shilwa kachav na'aseis ki ishta. So the Gemara in Ksuvos has it more measured or more moderate formulation. I still think this is a wild reading. So what does the Tosas Rid actually say? I'm just going to read it quickly. inside, just because it's mind-boggling. Tosfos Reid, there are some different girsos in the Gemara. It's talking about the case of Pirkuna, of a nishbase, a woman who is taken captive. When, under what circumstances does the significant other or the family of the dead husband, let's say, the Yorshim of the husband, when do they have to redeem her, right? One of the chiyuvim on a spouse is pirkuna. It may be an exchange for mizon, for ma'ase yadeha, right? That's that whole mizonos ma'ase yadeha. No, there's quid pro quo, whatever. The wife brings in things and the husband has to provide certain things. So the Gemara there has one girsa, and the Tosfos Reid has a different girsa. And the Tosfos Reid's girsa actually ends up talking about not a case of a woman who is a shomeres yavam, but even a woman who has... I think the Gemara talks about just nisarmala, right? And the Tosfos Reid's gear says that it's talking about a shomeres yavam, but he says it would even be a yavama. It would even be a post, a woman post yavam. Let me get you the actual lashon. The Tosfos Reid is on Nun Beis Amud Aleph. In Ksuvos. A little hard to... Right, the Gemara talks about Nishbeis Chayv Lifdosa. And here's what the Tosfos Reid says. His girsa is... Elchiyah D'Tanya Nishbeis, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom of Tosfos Reid. Ha D'Tanya Nishbeis Lachamisa Bala... Lachamisa's Bala. Let's say she's taken captive after the husband dies. Ein ayisom chayam lifdosa. The children, the orphans, don't have to be po to her. V'lo od elafilu nishbeis the chayibala v'achrach meiz bala in chayam lifdosa. Even if she was held captive while the husband is still alive, you would think that the children then have to because it was their father's obligation. No. Okay. She'ani korei bava the osvenichli leintu perush. So here's where he goes. Sha'afalpi, Shahayavam Miyabma. Even if the Yavam performed Yibum, Lo Ikri Li Liintu, we still do not refer to her as his wife. Sheyavama Nikres Velo Isha. She's still called a Yavama. You do have some cases in the Mishnah where it still refers to her as the Yavama post facto.
It's weird because the pasuk says "Ukachalo Leisha."
Right, but the Viyama he thinks carries the day, even though it's not the Yavama. It's not a reference to her identity, but yeah. V'ha dichtiv ukachalo Leisha lidrasha asa. That's only to tell us a particular narrow drasha. She yigarshenu begedim umachzira kichol isha de alma. Aval yivimto nikreisu kidichtiv Viyama. Okay, so according to that, the Tosfos Reid ends up saying that even post Yibum, she's still a Yavama and not an Isha. He reads that Gemara fundamentally differently. He says that Gemara only modifies the Havamina in a very narrow way, Lidrasha, for these two Limudim of Megarsha Beged and Machzira. But for many other things, right? It's very hard to read the Mishnah according to Tosfos Reid, because even if you want to expand Bilvad Shetek Subas on Nichsei Bala Rishon, it's still hard to read that as, you know, and because of Nichsei Bala Rishon, therefore she's not really an Isha, even though we just got through saying Harei Kisha L'chol Davar. Okay. That is, I think, that Gemara with the modification in Ksuvos, with the Tosfos Reid kind of rereading, which works a little better in Ksuvos, but is still somewhat difficult. Okay, so according to the Tosfos Reid, you'd have to say it would be intuitive to say that the chalos of Yibum is different, because the whole purpose of Yibum is not just to achieve Ishus, but it's got some other goal to it, and then therefore that reflects in the chalos as well. It's not about creating a new marriage between the two parties. It's about maybe perpetuating the legacy of the brother. It's about keeping an eye on the almana of the brother, but it's not about creating and fostering a whole new ishus between the two. That ishus is done. She doesn't really have the status of an isha. Now, there are a few other potential that, and this would affect pidyon shvuyim. You wouldn't have to be poda her ever. And that may therefore affect a bunch of other things as well. Some of the mizonos and maaseyada, some of those quid pro quo things, and maybe even kinyani aspects of, you know, the more transactional aspects of ishus may not exist. You take her as a wife in the sense that there's some conjugal piece to it, but there and there's some care for her, it would seem. You carry over some of the marriage, maybe.
Maybe it's a chayav is poor of who, but not poor of him, but poor of the brother.
Could be. Right, and this also gets into the Yavama's mitzvah in Puruvu in Ibum, which we'll have to leave for another time. Yes, Yaakov.
Was it a girsa issue? What was pushing Tosfos Rit to say that?
Unclear. Yeah. It's unclear. All the Rishon of the Rush. I gave you the Rush because he's got other Rishon. It's unclear. It seems like he's motivated. He does have a different girsa, but he didn't. He could have left the girsa as just referring to a shomeris yavam, meaning a woman who is awaiting Yibam. He says no, even if it's a yavama.
Right.
That I don't think anybody has that girsa. Yes.
Does anybody? I don't know, I'm just thinking about the first mention of kiddushin because that's what I'm teaching.
Yeah.
Does anybody say that when the first mention is yavama kones atzma, is that talking about post?
Or? It does sound like it's post. No, because that could be referring to in between. It's bechalitza.
Doesn't say.
Right, but it's bechalitza misa sayavim. Sounds like it's before.
So but because the first case post. Is talking about post. The first case is
beginning. Right. We're going to get to those Gemaras. There are some awesome Gemaras on Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, which are super suggestive. Gemara asks, why can't chalitza work for regular Isha, and why can't get work for a yavam? So that really gets into, you know, the maaseh and derech of yibam and chalitza and the comparison. There's a lot more there. This is kind of like a radical prot, which I think illustrates the deal. Okay, yeah, Yaakov.
Also, just according to the Tosfos Rit, sorry for being stuck in there.
No problem.
That could even come out as a chumrah, like he wouldn't be able to pay more than she's worth if he wanted to be put a shvuyim, like according to Rishonim, say it because of Isho Kagufo, that's why he do that.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, it's cool. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, let's say he wants to treat her like a full fledged wife. There are a number of other nafkaminas that potentially come up in terms of chalos ibum. The Ritva is one of the Rishonim who suggests a couple. I think I have. I gave you these, and actually in the Hiknu Loman Shemayim, I gave you these two Ritvas because the Ritva rooted in Hiknu Loman Shemayim. But he says even post facto, in the mitzvah of Ona is different for Yavama post Yibum than it is for regular Isha. I don't know if it's quantitative or qualitative. I don't remember. That's the Ritva on Mem Dalad Amad Aleph, Dibra Masel, Eitz Tova. He also says that the Chayrim of Rabbeinu Gershom against multiple wives wouldn't apply to a Yavama. So if a guy's married, right? If the guy's married, at what? Because she's not an Isha. It's a ban of Rabbeinu Gershom on having two wives. He says it more in terms of Hikmah Lo Mishamayim. It's kind of God created this, but in theory, you could suggest it based on what the Tosfos Rit is saying too, that
Nishim wife.
Right. She it is also, not an Isha.
Right. It also makes it much easier to get around the Isser Isha Ach, because she's not Isha Ach.
Right. Right. Well, I don't know.
That is Isha Ach, but it's not.
She
not
remains the Isha of the Ach. Right. Well, you're not married.
You're not married.
Right, but it's still the Tabia. It's a Surabia. Yeah.
Do you know anything about the Or Chaim HaKadosh doing Yibum? Can you hear about that?
I heard about it.
He's buried next to his two wives.
No.
I'll find the source for it.
Yeah,
Oster,
and,
pretty wild. Right now, and he's not Sephardic. There's a guy in my father's shul whose father is the product of a yibum.
What?
A Tamani guy whose father. This guy, my father shul, whose father is the product of a yibum. It's pretty wild.
I know. Yeah. In the, from what I understand,
I think they've now banned it in Eretz Yisrael. Yibum
in the 50s.
And that's why.
In
the
50s. The
whole thing
with
Rabbi
Adya that
he
brought
a school cream. Right. I read that one too. Right. Okay. So, the other piece of this Gemara that's fascinating, that goes beyond just the question of the Chalos Yibum, but affects the whole institution of Yibum, Zika, and the Derech of Yibum, is how the Rambam understood the next little bit of Gemara, the modifier of Uhuvaj Dek Suvas on Litzibala Rishon. Okay, so let's take a look quickly at that Gemara, and then we'll talk a little bit about Shitas HaRambam. Right, the Gemara in Lamed Tesem and Aleph says, Uhuvaj Dek Suvas on Litzibala Rishon, and we pointed out that this sounds like it's somewhat of a major exception. My time, where it says, Isha Hitnu Lo Min HaShamayim. Then the Gemara says, "Vileslam min arishon." If for whatever reason the ksuba is messed up from the rishon, there isn't one. Takinu lamisheni kidei shelo teikala bein of lahotzia. If there isn't an extant ksuba from the first husband, then you can have one. Midrabbanan, we have one from the second husband. Okay, there's always got to be a ksuba. He can serve as a default.
So which rishon is the Ritva who said it's
the owners
wouldn't apply even after.
Correct. The Ritva and Lama Tesam and Beis.
So the Machlokas, the Beis Yosef, and the Rama is the result that any other Rishon say against the Ritva? Or just assume that the Ritva is minority?
Yeah, it's assumed that the Ritva is minority. Because, again, the Pashut reading is that this is Ishus. It doesn't come up so much because in Ashkenaz, we're not doing Yibum just like we're not doing multiple wives. Right. Oh, he was. Okay, so that makes sense. Okay. I should have known that. So, what does this mean? This line, Isha Hitnu Lo Min HaShamayim. This is going to be a big phrase. Hitnu Lo Min HaShamayim is mentioned only in this context. There's one other context where it's mentioned, in a Mishnah Nedarim.
Oh, you mean about you?
About you. There's Ma'amar, where it says... there's an interesting lashon when you do mamar hikna le'atzmo al yedei shamayim or something like that when you do mamar.
There's also shamayim parat filah.
Right, correct. But I'm talking about this particular phrase of hikna lo min shamayim, and that hikna lo min shamayim is why the ksuba is al nechse bala risho. I have to try to understand what that means. The Mishnah Nedarim has a radical shita that we don't passim like, except for one obscure Rishon says we passim like that. The Shita of...
Lono Dolome.
What'd you say?
Lono Dolome.
What?
Lono Dolome.
No, it's a Tana in the Mishnah. I think it's Rabbi Yeshua. I just want to make sure I get it right, just because I like being right. Yeah, Rabbi Lazar. No, Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah, Maseches Nedarim, utilizes the term Hikmin Lomit Shemaim to explain that a Yavam can be Mayfair, the Nidre Shomeris Yavam, even though an Arus is not allowed to be Mayfair Nidre Arus Safsa.
Wait, the Yavam can be Mayfair, the Yavama who he's done Maimar with?
No. They have not. There's just Zika.
Just Zika.
Right? So Rabbi Lazar says, even though there's only Zika, and normally an Arus and Arusa and Arus is not allowed to be made for Nidarim,
so it's still Nefas. Like, it's
more than Arusa. Right. We reject that, though, right? That the Rishonim utilize, and even the Gemara, I think, in one place, utilizes the language of Zika Kiknusa, right? That's not, or Zika Kinesua. Right, the Rishonim use different kinds of languages where you see that there Zika is not being compared with Arusin, but it seems to be more powerful. Okay.
Well, in this context, in all intents and purposes, it is like this. No?
In terms of Ksuba.
In
Correct, correct. It seems to be more comparable to Nesua than to Arusa. Again, that's Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in Nedarim. Mishnah in Nedarim, Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Now, again, I would rather go beyond quantitative Nesua, Arusa, and start to understand more qualitatively in certain aspects, Dahanim, in certain aspects, the Yavam and Yavama relationship, which is called Zika, may be more powerful because Zika emphasizes X, whereas in other respects, it doesn't even, you know, hold a candle to the relationship between the Arus and the Arusa. And there's a Shita Lugubetzis who has a lashon like that, that even according to Rabbi Elazar Nedarim, that's only lenient Nedarim, but lenient other things, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. Sorry for the delays. Just wanted to give you that cool language of the Shita Mugatz in the Dharm, the Ramasu Bishlama has this chiluk between the Zika in terms of Isser Ishus and She'erus versus Kinyan Ishus. Okay. So that's the only place that appears in the Mishnah. This is basically the only place that appears in the Gemara. Doesn't seem to be that central an idea. Seems to be limited to this din of Ksuv al Nitzel Bala Rishon. But the Rambam takes this line of Hikmi Lo Min Shamayim and makes it a central feature of his understanding of many of the differences between regular Ishus and Yibam. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. In Hilchos Yivam V'Chalitza, the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, Sheyivim Adam Eshes Achiv Me'aviv, Bein Min HaNisum Bein Min HaErusin, Emesu B'lo Zerah, Shnemar Bein Ein Lo Yivam Yivor Leah, Min HaTorah, Eino Tzarech L'Kadesh Yivimto, Shezo Ishta Hi Shehitnu Lo Min HaShamayim, Ela Yavo Aleha, V'Ksubas Al Nichsei Ba'al HaShemes. Let's see. It's fascinating what the Rambam does here. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Yivam. First of all, he mentions the fact Ksubas al Nitzei Ba'al HaShemes. And he mentions Hikmi Lo Mishamayim. But he's not using Hikmi Lo Mishamayim to explain just Ksubas al Nitzei Ba'al HaShemes, which is a small prot, one would think, in the ultimate scheme of things. He actually infuses, within the term Hikmi Lo Mishamayim, much more significance to explain why you don't need Kiddushin at all. Meaning, the Gemara never talked about this. The Gemara takes it as a given that once you do via Sibum, you're fully married. The Rambam, though, seems to be implying a question here. Why is it that we don't need the stage of Kiddushin? Hitnu lo min shamayim.
She's an Eshes Ish.
Like, what?
If she has Nus, that's an Eshes Ish at this point before Via. Yeah.
Okay. So, not only does the Rambam not say that, the Rambam, even though he paskins Misafik, that it might be considered davar shav erva, he holds that shomeres yom shezinsa is still allowed. There's no suffix even still allowed to marry the yavam.
So, right.
So here's what gets complicated in the Rambam, because in some respects, the Rambam seems to project that there really is a strong connection based on hitnul mishamayim between the yavam and the shomeres yavam. But in other respects, when it comes to Shemaris Yavim Shezinsa, or the Peros issue that I mentioned all the way at the beginning of the Chabura, that the Rambam limits the Yavam's hold on her Peros and says he doesn't have even Chatzi Nichse Malug, the Rambam in other respects seems to limit the pull and the connection between the Yavam and the Yavam. So, how the Rambam can be explained is probably going to be longer than this Chabura, but I want to start putting the facts on the table and at least putting the pieces together of what the Rambam does. The Rambam understands that this din and this phrase, Hikmah Lo Mishamayim, ends up being something much more symbolic that encompasses more than just Ksuvas al Nifsei Baal HaRishon. It explains even more. The Rambam in Perish Mishnayos, Perik Vav, Mishnah Aleph, utilizes Hikmi Lo Mishamayim to explain why you don't need Das and certain Bios which work in Yibum, which wouldn't work in regular context, kiddush bia, etc., work here. Hayavama ainot tzricha kiddush min haTorah lufi sheisha hitn lo min shemayim v'kiddush yavama min rabbanon ulafikach habal yavimto be'ezet tzad sheyeh kone kinyan gamur. The Haarahu Hachnasas Atarim Vigias Hatia Nikres Nishika Ad Hachnasas Atarakula Amnam Hushima Jemar Gomer Vagomer Hu Hachnasas Aver Kula. Right, so the Rambam repeats this point in the Parish of Mishnayos that because of Hikmah Mishmaim we don't need Kiddushin, but then he says, and therefore you also don't really need a full Maisabiyah, and then he goes on to explain that you also don't need some of the other requirements of Bia. That Mishnah, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph, is all about how what's called the Biot Gruot, the deficient Biot. But they work in Yibum. According to Shmuel, they only work for Yibum stuff, but not for regular Ishus, which is a discussion for another time. Right? This whole question of Yibum Ishus, do they have different Chalos? According to Shmuel in the Gemara, it may be that they're two dinim. If you do a bia grua, if you do a bia without the das of the woman or without the das of the man, it may be you have yibum, and she's considered like, you know, now you've completed yibum, but you don't yet have ishus until you have that. So
you need ishus about
that? A better question would be, that's a good question, but meaning, do you fulfill the mitzvah of yibum through that, or do you need to eventually do Ishus? That's a good question. I mean, according to Shmuel, you have chalos of Yibam. You may not have the mitzvah of Yibam unless you actually do Ishus. Uh-huh. That would be why you would say. Right. So that's a good question. Another good question is, like, would Shmuel actually say that after Yibam, you would still need that kind of Yibam, you would need chalitza but not a get? Probably not. That's a little too radical. But that's one place to look at. Why do we mention this? Oh, the Rambam seems to project again this idea, or injects this idea again of Hikmah Mishmaim, even into another realm.
Yep. Although here he does limit it a little bit, meaning here he says that Hikmah Mishmaim is only enough to say that you don't need Kiddushin, but you still need a Kinyan Gomer. That means that you still have not done a Kinyan, and that can explain how come by, you know, Shazinsa, she's
correct, like, correct. That, good, yeah,
she's
good.
Not Kanoi.
Correct. There's something about the nature of Hikmah Mishmaim which generates certain things, but leaves you deficient in other areas. Okay, especially vis-a-vis the areas of the Yavam's kinyanim vis-a-vis the woman, like when it comes to peros, but even the Shomeris Yavam, another way of formulating it is that maybe for the Rambam, she has a certain status, but the Yavam doesn't have any real hold on her. So we'll talk about it, meaning look at it, Mitzida versus Mitzida. The Rambam projects this idea of Hiklom and Shamayim into the process of Yibam itself, not just the Ksuba, but it would seem that he sees this idea of the Ksuba as being a springboard or a gateway into understanding kind of fundamental differences between the process of Yibam and the status of Zika and regular issues. Just one more Rambam where we see this particularly clearly in Bolate is in Beis Tezayin. The Rambam in Beis Tezayin. The Rosh, by the way, says you don't need any Edim for Yibam because of Hikmah Lo Mishamayim. You don't even need Edivir. So there are other Rishonim who utilize the Ritva and the Rashba, who utilize this language. The Rambam, though, seems to utilize it the most and in the most context and in the, you know, kind of the most sweeping, fundamental kind of way. Yavama shetava hayavim lechalitz of yehomeres eini choletzas v'lo notelis ksuba ele eishav v'yivs bali kashar kol almanos ein shomama. Let's say a woman says, I don't want to have yibam, I don't want to have chalitza, I just want to stay like this. Right? Let me be. What does it harm you? I'll be an almana. I'm not looking to get remarried. So this gets into a question whether or not chalitza, this is a similar question by get, let's say, you know, is there a mitzvah of chalitza or get that you can coerce them if they're not really interested in doing it? If they're just happy the way they are, can you do that? So Rambam says you can't do it. Ein shomin lo. Shaharei hiknu osa leze min hashamayim. V'ratzamiyabim ratzacholetz v'nosin ksuba. Rambam says, because of hiknu lo min hashamayim, you can't just leave it as it is. The ball is in the Yom's court. If he wants to do something, probably even if he doesn't want to do something, we need to do something to resolve this status. Either she has to, they have to do Yibum, they have to do Chalitza.
That's different than Raman Abbas. This is more about the Zika. I mean, Raman Abbas is being further, saying that it's why you don't need
Kiddushim, but that's also a description of the Zika itself, too. Right. So, what we see from these various things, that the Rambam takes this lashon of Hiknu lo min ha-shamayim and projects that as being a centerpiece of his whole view of the derech of Yibum and of the status of Zika. What is the significance of that? So I think that's quite important for the Rambam. I think it touches upon the Isser Yibam Lashuk, the nature of Zika, the mitzvah of Yibam, even the mitzvah of Chalitza. But maybe we'll pick up on that next time. We'll talk a little bit more about that Rambam. You can take a look at some of those makaros. One thing I would just add is that it's not a coincidence that the Rambam, you could just say, oh, the Rambam read this Gemara and was very impressed by the Ubovaj Teik Subasal Nechse Baal Arishon, Hiklo Meshamayim, and you know, it's mentioned in the Mishnah Dharma, and even though we don't pass him like that, this is an idea that he really likes. But I think there's another piece, logical piece to it, and that is that for the Rambam, Ksuva is a very central part of marriage. So the very fact that Ksuva Al Nechse Baal Arishon, whatever the reason was going to be for that, the Rambam was going to take that very seriously. So here we have not just that the Rambam may have been impressed with the line of Hiknu lo min ha-shamayim and thinks that it's important. The very fact that Ksuva al Nechse Baal Arishon is very important. And that's because the Rambam's overall shita, and this is more of a Ksuvos shir, the Rambam's overall shita on Ksuva is very interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, in the Koteret to Hilchos Ishus, starts off by saying Lisa Isha Viksuva Vikidushin, which is very strange because there are some places where the Rambam makes it clear that he thinks Ksuva's just Durabana. But the Koter of Hilchos Ishus, he says the mitzvah is Lisa Isha, not just Vikidushin, but Viksuva Vikidushin. And then the mitzvah base, it says Shaloti Vail Isha below Ksuva Vikidushin. So this is part of a larger picture, but for the Rambam, the Ksuva is what plays a role similar to Kiddushin, in the sense that it elevates the marriage from one which is just Ratzahu Ratzahi, we talked about this last week, it elevates it into something which is transformative, into something which is Kinyani, what? Right, it does all that stuff. It elevates it and makes it something which is more serious, meaning for the Rambam, Shalote Kalavain of Lahotziah is not just like, oh, so on a whim they shouldn't get divorced. For the Rambam, that means that it's an enhancer of the institution of marriage itself. I think Ronzweig says that according to that Rambam, he thinks that there's a kiyum in reading the ksuva between kiddushin and nisun. It's not just to stall time like Rashi, like the sheet of Rashi, but that by reading the ksuva in that time, you're demonstrating the commitment that each side has to one another with this and how seriously it's being taken. It's kind of building off of the kiddushin and adding even further the ksuva, which then elevates it. And even though the Rambam writes in some places that ksuva is derabanan, that just means the specific dollar amounts and those kinds of things are dictated midrabanan.
So you would say a monkey can't read it?
I would venture to say that's it. So maybe we'll pick up next time with the Rambam and Hiknu lo min ha-shamayim and what's unique about that. And the truth is, we need to then understand a little bit about what Ishus is. Ishus is dafka, not something that's Hiknu lo min ha-shamayim. Ishus is something which the couple themselves generate, and therefore that contrast for the Rambam is something very significant. All right. Thanks, Noel.
I'm still waiting for a wedding or a shepherd to be someone gets